is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Backspin Golf is brought to you by French Lick Resort and Casino, Men O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Clark's Pump and Shop, and Dan Cummins of Paris and Georgetown. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome in Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. And once again, so happy to be joined by my brother, my partner, my golf guru guy, my guy that gets me incredible wedges. I mean, at some point when we can see each other again, I'll get these new wedges. Perry French, Perry French. Hi, Perry French, Perry French.
Good morning. Good morning. Potsy.
Wait a minute. What? Did you just call me Potsy?
Potsy. Potsy.
Oh, Potsy. Okay.
Yeah, Potsy.
Right. Yeah. I thought you were going back to happy days there for a second. Anyway, it's great to talk to you again.
Yes.
And I have no idea where you are because you're busy and you're traveling. And where are you as we speak?
Evansville, Indiana, this last couple of days, taking care of business out here.
Cool. Golf
temperatures very high. Everybody's very busy still. It's kind of a continuing craziness. Did you see where the Golf Data Tech just reported last month, September, most rounds ever played in the month, 25% growth roughly across the entire nation on average by state, and even they even regionalized it. And then in the equipment sales part of it, the largest third quarter in equipment sales, again, in U.S. sales history for the golf industry. It's just going crazy. And thankfully, again, the silver lining that is COVID, who'd have thought. But yeah, it's good. And we're busy out getting ready for hopefully, which will be a continuation going into next year.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about, you know, people – I think there are a lot of people that had kind of given up playing for one reason or another.
Sure.
And during this time now, when there was really nothing else people could do, they may have rediscovered their love of the game and they'll now keep playing. So
one of the biggest comments I get from the stores owners and that new golfers, beginner golfers, you know, players mentioned that, you know, getting back into the game, you know, all that kind of stuff that you're talking about. And then the continuation where the people who have been playing and enjoying the game for however long, they're playing more golf, you know, and they're they're really, you know, it's really a unique dynamic that's going on. And it's pretty fun to see. I just would like the world get back to a little bit more normalcy on the social side. Well, hopefully that'll happen before too long.
Sometime soon. Yeah. All right. Before we get started, I want to say you and I always talk about Chris Mascaro and Next on the Tee, which is one of the top podcasts in golf. But I want to give a shout out to Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari, who also have an NFL podcast called Thursday Night Tailgate.
Right.
And they are about to celebrate their ninth year of doing this. And that's quite a feat because there are so many of them out there, and to do that for that long, and it's amazing, the guests that they get. But not only Next on the Tee, but congratulations, Chris, on your great success with Thursday Night Tailgate. Okay, here we go. Shoot, Perry, what do you got for me?
Well, I wanted to first ask you, I wanted to know, we talked the last time about the Sergio with his eyes closed and his success, of course, with the win. And we mentioned, you know, about how to maybe for players who are struggling with putting as a practice putting scenario, go to the putting green and, you know, hit some putts with your eyes closed just to reestablish your sense of stroking motion. Did you get a chance to do that?
I did. And I did it fair. I think that day after backspin, I went out and played that late that afternoon. And I hit some putts on the putting green doing it, and it worked pretty well. So I took it out to the course. And, you know, sometimes this happens. The first three holes I did on the first hole at Picadome, that par five, mm-hmm. I closed my eyes and I made about a 12 or 15 footer for par. Mm-hmm. And the next two holes on number two, again, for par from about 10 feet. And on number three, I did it again. And I did it throughout, not every putt, but for a lot of putts during the round.
Right.
And it was, I was pretty successful, was it? I actually was very surprised. I thought this will work for a little while.
There's a lot of trust involved when you're doing that, even if it's just for recreation, you know, to trust that you're not going to hit this putt that's going to go 20 feet by or 5 feet, you know, you got a 10 foot putt and you know, fairly, you know, feel like you have a good chance of making it, and to miss it, you know, by a hair left or right, you know, you're disappointed, but you know, but when you get out there and try it to, I guess, again, just free up the mind, free up the stroke and reestablish your sense of feel. Yeah. Going back to your eyes and open and, you know, your normal putting scenario is not unusual, or for longer putts for that matter, but I think it helps. It's more of a practice aid that he put in play and won a golf tournament doing it, you know, pretty amazing. So, but a lot of practice time involved, you know, again, to have that trust to do it for on a 50 foot putt. Are you kidding? I mean, that's you just have to have a lot of trust. So that's what it's all about. And I think, again, players who are struggling, that's the type of thing to do. And, you know, that's what I want to talk about today, a little bit about players who are struggling with their game as a whole. They might say, oh, I'm playing poorly, and they just kind of blanket the whole thing. And I think a lot of players get focused on the downside of their game, whether it's not scoring well, you know, not shooting the scores that they like to shoot,
right?
Not driving well, or when they get over the chip shots, they're just, you know, they're struggling, they can't get it close to the hole, you know, missing shots, dubbing shots, that kind of shot, kind of stuff. So I think the way I had a great discussion with a teaching pro out here yesterday, and one of the things we talked about was he teaches a lot of good players, and we talked about the wedge game primarily, but how that the association with when it comes time to hitting a wedge shot, chip shot, pitch shot, you know, bunker shot, if you will, it's not the same as when you're trying to tee off on the hole. It's not the same when you're trying to hit a six iron into the green. And what I mean by that is the mindset is part of the issue, but I think players find that, oh, I'm driving the ball well, so there's a confidence factor that jumps up. But when you go out to practice, I see too many players jumbling through the bag. They grab and they hit five wedges and they hit 10 drivers and they hit seven irons.
Right.
You know, they don't, there's no kind of, I'll say, method to their madness. But there really needs to be. And I think that when players go out to practice again, warming up is a different story. If you're going out to play and you're just warming up, you know, my deal is, you know, tee up a seven iron, just make some swings long and smooth, and just, you know, just work on just getting loose and getting a feel for the club and the ball working together. You know, dynamically, it's really not a natural thing for you to swing something over your head primarily and try to, you know, launch it back into a golf ball that's on the ground. You know, it's not normal. So doing that, just if you played a lot or played a little, it's something that you need to do to get your mind and your body kind of geared into it. So from a practicing standpoint and how to improve your game, you've got to focus on the compartmentalization of what I call the five facets of your game. The first one is, and to me it's the most important, as we know, is your short game. You have to establish your sense of confidence with your short game and understanding how to play the multiple shots that you're required to play when you're playing around a golf with your short game. And it's whether it's getting comfortable with one club specifically, your sand wedge, your gap wedge, you know, use that club and just develop that confidence. And when you go out to practice, spend that 30, 45 minutes or whatever you've got in time to work on that specific part. You'll get more out of it. Yeah, you hit 10 good chip shots and then you go on to the next. Well, that's not really practicing. That's kind of warming up.
Yeah.
That's a warm-up thing. So stay focused on that particular part. Again, you could chip for 20 minutes and then go to putting. Those things they go together. When you hit a chip shot, the next shot typically is a putt. So hopefully, you know, if you could practice that way, you could, yeah, exactly. Another chip shot.
Yeah.
So you focus on those two things. They tie into your psyche and your way of preparing for when you go to play. That's the whole part of practice. Yes, you have instructional practice where you're trying to develop, work on your swing mechanics and the things that get you to the golf course and help you navigate the golf course. But
right.
When you're trying to practice on your own and you're not in an instruction mode, you've got to find a way to develop that sense of confidence. And it's, you can't just do it for 10 swings with the driver, 10 swings with the fairway club and go through the bag. That's not a practice session. That's just kind of a warm-up session. So the next piece of the puzzle that's most important is driving. Some pros may have it backwards. I know the fastest way to improve someone's game is improve their short game, chipping and right. pitching and putting. So right. the driving part is then the most important part of that equation, because it's the way you get the ball, you know, ball started on the tee and yeah, you get in play and you know, and you're also playing. That's the really the only primary shot you always hit from the same position. You always right. tee up a driver for the most part, you know, 99% of the time. So that's another set of practice. It's a different swing motion. It's the longest club in your bag. It's going to require a different set of criteria for you to get comfortable with and navigate it. It's not the same swing as when you put a 7 on your hand. People say, well, it is the same swing. Well, no, it's not. It's not dynamically. It's not. You're closer to the ball with the 7 iron. You're more upright with your setup. You're hitting the ball off the turf primarily.
It's totally different.
Yeah. So start there. So driving number two. Number three would then be your short irons, your 8 iron down to your gap wedge, your full swing short iron games, your approach shots. That's what you, when you're comfortable with, if you hit that really good driver, if you're in trouble, you're not afraid to pitch out to a certain yardage. Some people mm-hmm. love to hit a shot. You know, I'm really good with my wedge from 100 yards, but yeah. If I put them at 85, they're really not very good. Well, why is that? You know, why are you, mm-hmm. why those things need to be connected. Maybe you need to be better with your gap wedge. Well, then practice that as a zone of practice, the 8 iron through the gap wedge. And then from the 7 iron down to the longest club in most people's bag right now, maybe a 5 iron, maybe a 4 iron, you know, work on those three clubs in that 4, 5, 6 or 5, 6, 7, work on right. that mid iron swing. And then you back to the final clubs are your hybrids and your fairways. You hit those the least if you think about it. Most players don't hit a lot of those shots, and again, they right. typically come off the deck. So not that you shouldn't practice it, but it's not a shot that you hit a lot during the round. The most shots you hit during the round: driver, wedges,
and approach putter.
Clubs and putter, you know. Yeah. So focus that way, and if you compartmentalize your practice time, you know, one time it's the driver, well, next time it's the short game. And as you play, you evaluate where you're getting successes and where you're struggling. And that's the way you can take the practice time and make it more efficient for you to develop some confidence, to develop the feel for that shot. I don't mean you have to tweak your swing. If you're a person who hits a fade with the driver, by all means, keep hitting the fade, you know, hitting yeah. it solid and aiming at your target and hitting it relatively close to your target with the driver is very good. You know, that's the thing. You're trying to develop that repetition in your swing pattern with that particular club in that right. particular situation. And then, you know, again, if you're putting the 7 iron in play and you want to practice with 7 iron, hit a whole bucket of 7 irons, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you might want to migrate to the 6 and the 5, you know, mm-hmm. Because again, there's a little bit of variance, but those are very similar swings as far as your posture and how the length of the club. We talk about the bulk and his tour, you know, the incredible bulk, the Bryson DeChambeau changing his clubs. Well, he makes them all one length. That doesn't necessarily change the dynamic of his swings for when he's hitting a wedge to a 6 iron to a 4 iron. Those clubs, even though they're the same length, they're different loft and a different lie angle. So he has to make some adjustments. And so he practices that, he'll practice those in groups the same way. He will work on those parts of his game. And of course, we know his driving, fetish that he's got going with trying to figure out how to drive the ball and put it in play. He's found something that's working for him. That's the goal with everybody. Find something that's working for you and stick with it. Don't change it the next time you go to the driving range. Don't say, oh, I'm going to try to do this. I've been hitting fades for the last month. I'm going to try to hit draws. Well, the driving range is the place to try that, but you know, you're going to bring in a different mindset.
You've played enough with me, and I wish I had a nickel for every time. Like, I'll hit the first few holes, I'll hit 4 great drives. And then for some reason, I get to the fifth hole, and let me try this.
Maybe the hole dictates that. You know, maybe the hole looks like a draw hole to you, you know, and you try to change
that. Well, whatever. But why would I do that? This is what we're talking about. You know, I just hit four great drives, and now I'm going to – let me just try using my right hip a little bit more, and we all know what happens. And, you know, then I'm off to the races. But,
Yeah, then now you've changed your swing thoughts to get – right. When you put the driver in play, and when you look at the tee shot, you go, well, I just hooked that one, or I just, you know, sliced that one really badly. So you're trying to compensate for the previous swing. And that happened 10 minutes ago. Yeah. You know, it didn't happen like right the next swing when you're practicing your driver, right? Yeah. If you're hitting consecutive shots. So those are the things that players get in trouble on the golf course, and they say, geez, I played good for nine holes and all of a sudden I went to hell. You know, I just lost my game. Well, why? You know, you're going to miss a shot. That's golf, and that's the human factor. But that doesn't mean you change the strategy. If you'll notice when you watch tour players, if it's a dog leg left, okay, mm-hmm. and they're a fade player. We'll talk Justin Thomas, for example.
Right.
Unless he's hitting a three wood because of the shape of the hole lengthwise, what is he doing with that driver shot? He's going to the far right side of the tee box. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's aiming left and he's hitting a fade into the dog leg.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
He's taking it over the trees if he can. Again, the shot dictates what you can do. You know, otherwise he may have to pull the three wood out and play it with the draw.
Shorter.
Again, he probably is more comfortable, as we all should be, with a more lofted club to hit a little bit more of a curved shot. That's the design of a fairway club and a hybrid. So that's the things that players like yourself, you look at the hole and maybe it's a course you played every day, or it's a course you haven't played and you see something different. But most fairways are the same width on every hole. They're 30 to 40 yards wide. There are some landing areas that if you can, you know, by your laser know that the distance it would be if you hit your driver, you'd hit it into the narrowest part of the fairway. Mm-hmm. Well, then maybe you need to hit three with that hole, you know.
Right.
Don't hit it into the narrowest part. If you want to take the chance and try to drive it because you can carry the bunker or whatever the trouble is, or you want to challenge yourself because you want to be 20 yards from the green or 100 yards from the green instead of 130, that's up to you. But that's a decision you make. But don't change the shot. Keep that same shot pattern in mind, however you look at it. Look at the left side and go to the right. So that's where players make a lot of mistakes. They just keep changing what they're doing hole to hole. And they talk about strategy. And the pros have a strategy. They even though the golf course may not be made for their exact shot shapes, they figure out how to manage their shots to the hole that they're playing and the course they're playing.
Yes. And I need to do more of that. All right. Before I let you go, I just want to say, and I don't think I talk about this enough, but peeps, if you're working on your game, there are no better clubs to work with than Cleveland wedges, Srixon golf clubs. The Srixon balls are unbelievable. The range of balls that we have, they're all fantastic, and you are too, Perry. That was a great discussion. That was really great. So,
well, we have to practice what we preach, you know. So that, and I found that the more I don't have a lot of practice time, the more if I take my practice to a focus point of one thing on the game, I'm a lot more successful. Yes,
right.
You will be helping your long game if you're hitting a lot of good 6 and 7 irons. You know, it'll help you in your 4 and 5 iron hybrid. They will help you, you know.
The most important thing is the short game, Perry.
Yes, it is. Okay. That always will be, Matthew.
All right.
We'll see what happens this week. The Masters is around the corner. I can't wait. It's going to be exciting to see this event take place, first of all, and then to see the players, how they navigate the Masters. With the new turf that they put down, you know, they regressed the whole property.
Right. Yeah, no, it'll be fantastic. And we'll get into a real breakdown of that next week.
That sounds good.
Okay. Talk to you soon. You're the
best.
Well. Thanks, bro.
All right.
Okay.
See you.
Bye.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Men O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf, as you know, because you're tuned in. It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300. This is going to be really exciting for me. Every show is exciting for me, but this is special. Anytime that I can have my brother, my older brother, Mitch Lawrence, join me on my show, it's special because we haven't spoken to each other enough over the course of our very long lives. You can follow him on Twitter at Mitch Lawrence, and that's L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, golftripx.com. There's just too much stuff here, but I'm going anyway. Hi, Mitchie.
Hey, man. How are you, Matt?
Hey, man. I'm good. You okay down there in Myrtle Beach?
Yeah. Doing great. Myrtle Beach is Myrtle Beach.
Yeah. I'm not really sure what that means anymore.
I'm not either, but I don't know what anything means anymore. So
yeah, it's a good point.
What the heck?
Very good point. There is, as we always do when we talk with you, there's so much we could talk about, and we will. You got like 2 hours or something? Oh,
sure.
Wait.
The show's
only an hour. That's right. Okay. But something popped up on my Twitter feed, actually your Twitter feed, and then I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we'll talk about some other stuff when we get through with this, but this is a pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Two words, all-encompassing, amazing is a good word, incredible thing, that's a bad word, but it's a thing that you are now involved in, and I really wanted you to talk to our listeners about this. You put up a video of yourself, and by the way, you're really good at this stuff. I don't know if you know that.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean,
I've done it a few times.
Yeah, a few times. Your whole golf trip X, and you and Darren and Brian, and traveling all over the freaking world to play golf and talk about it and video it. You know, there's that. So you have some experience with it, but this was a different kind of video. I want you to share with people what you have become involved in, what I'm going to get involved in, and really all of us should get involved in. This is amazing.
Yeah, and obviously I appreciate you giving me some time. This came up kind of quickly. Bill Smitrovich, who is a good friend of both yours and mine, great actor. If your listeners aren't real familiar with the name, just Google Bill Smitrovich and you'll see that he's been in so many movies and things that everybody loves. And he's a great guy, and we've stayed in touch. You and I haven't been in LA in a long time, but he loves golf. And
we've played many tournaments with him.
Yep.
Yep.
And he and I have, you know, stayed in touch, especially lately. Just somehow we seem to kind of be connecting on things.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me a link to something called Police Awaken. P-L-E-A-C-E, Awaken. And it was some video stuff that he had done from South Africa in 2019. And it kind of centered around an event that was put together in South Africa where some celebrities from the United States as well as Africa and Europe came down to South Africa to participate in this event. And when I first saw it, I kind of looked at it and went, wow, that looks cool. Not sure what it is, blah, blah, blah. So he got in touch with me, actually, knowing that I was involved in golf here in the States and the podcast and everything else. And I connected with him. And Bill is the guy who really introduced me to someone named Steve Jacobs. And Steve Jacobs is, he's been many things in the world of golf over his lifetime. A player, a great player, a teacher, a golf instructor, a mentor. He's just done a ton of stuff. He's South African Irish by descent. And in his travels around the world, he not only played golf, but he was really exposed to problems that people had in all these different places he went to. And I've spent a lot of time on the phone with him, and all I can say is that he's one of these people that most of us are in awe of, because he sees these kind of global issues and we see them and we react to them, but he's chosen to do something about it. So he and his partner, Lalitha, her name is, they have put together something called Police Awaken. And their goal is, I'm kind of keeping this short because it's a pretty complex, you know.
Yeah, it seems issue, like it is. Yeah.
I'm just trying to give a kind of an overview of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They're using golf because Steve, having been involved in golf his whole life, understands a few things about the game. Not just the playing of the game, but the fact that golf, and any of your listeners who plays understands this, gives us an opportunity to connect with people. And though we go out with our friends and we spend time with them, we often meet people we don't know. We talk, we spend 4 or 5 hours on the golf course and in relaxed atmosphere outdoors. And a lot of times we're able to kind of talk about things that you'd never think you were able to talk about with somebody you didn't really know. And so he decided to put something together, and this he started in 2019, called the International Celebrity and Living Legends Golf Tour. Mm. And he decided to use celebrities from around the world and living legends in sports, entertainment, politics, to kind of put out the word on a big scale, but basically bring it down to a local and regional level. And the idea is that every local and regional level deals with issues that are particular to that particular locality or region. So in other words, they just did a couple of events in South Africa where they get people out on the golf course for a day of golf, and they use that to connect each other. And then they spend time afterwards at round tables talking about particular problems in that region. So in South Africa, where Steve is, they're having huge problems with violence against women and children and gender violence. So their days have been spent on that issue. And they don't look to government. They don't look to big business. They look to people who are actually living in these areas to talk to each other. Because he said, oftentimes you'll get 5 charities working on one issue, but they don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
And they're at odds sometimes. So his goal is to get people together to sit down, to identify issues, how all the different people who can get involved can work together and solve these issues. So I was struck by his incredible commitment to changing the world. And it sounds like a really big thing, and it is. But the way he's going about it and his love for golf and his desire to use it to really start something just kind of overwhelmed me when I talk.
Well, I can hear it in your voice. And everybody that knows me in this area knows that I get the same way. I'm telling you, Mitch Lawrence, I just got chills just hearing you describe what this is and the effect that is possible in the future from this. It is such an incredible idea for him to, we all know we've used golf in our own lives for different things other than the game, but this, the scale of this is so immense, and yet it's so local is the only word at the same time. It's brilliant.
Yeah,
it's really brilliant.
Well, the thing that, that video that I put out was just an introduction. They did 2 events in 2019, international events. One in South Africa, which he brought over to South Africa, Bill Smitrovich, Dennis Haysbert, John O'Hurley and his wife, Lisa, and Gregory Harrison.
Wow.
And then they did one in Palm Springs that they participated in also. And the goal is to use celebrities and kind of legends in different areas to get the word out.
Right.
And the ultimate goal, and COVID put an end to this part of it, but his goal is to have international events once a year in different countries where people, golfers, regular golfers, amateur golfers, professionals, PGA teaching professionals, will all have a chance to qualify to get into these big international events and participate in these roundtables alongside of celebrities and sports legends and people like
right.
that.
Right.
So what he's working on now, which is why I say this is only at the beginning, they're creating, and you think of the size and scope of this, they're creating an app that will allow you to go play golf at Kearney Hill, for example.
Yeah.
You get on the app, and once you register and sign up for it, you record that round at Kearney Hill, and the score and your handicap place you into a world ranking. So that
people can
literally just go out and play if they want mm-hmm. and become involved, get involved in these world rankings, which is fun and some competition.
Yeah.
And keep hearing about things that are going on. So if Kearney Hill decides they want to do a day that's devoted to Police Awaken, they can sponsor a day where a whole bunch of people come out and play and then use that time. Hi, kid.
You can hear what's going on here.
I know. Hi, yeah. kid. They can use that time at Kearney Hill on that day to focus on a local issue in Lexington, Kentucky, bringing people together to discuss an issue and try to come up with how they can find a solution to a local issue.
Incredible.
But at the same time, putting you in play to come and be a part of this incredible international event, which once all this COVID stuff is, you know, at least put in a place where we can get back to traveling and doing that kind of stuff, the events are going to be unbelievable. They're really, he's talked to me about their plans, and they're not going small time on this. But it's yeah. a way for people to use the game on a local level, like we're talking about.
Right.
To really address issues that are important. The issues in Lexington, Kentucky and Myrtle Beach are going to be substantially different than South Africa.
And so, maybe not, though.
Well, I mean, some of them.
I know what you mean.
Some of them yeah. won't. But
right.
He's not. All he's concerned about and his team is concerned about is getting people to actually talk together and bring charities together instead of fighting each other to be able to accomplish some solutions.
Right. Right.
That's the goal.
Right. And just put it, I know how you feel, I feel, just putting it out there now, mm-hmm. it's already working. I mean, even with COVID, even with different things, it's already in some way working out kind of in the universe. I know you know what I mean, but.
Yeah, absolutely.
And here's the thing. I mean, I hate to be base about this, but. Next time you talk to him, you know, I'm an internationally famous celebrity, as well as an internationally famous athlete. So, you know, just make sure that, you know, somewhere, you know.
Well, I mean, obviously that goes without saying.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Well, if anybody would know, you would.
Yeah.
Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
What I'd like to just one thing for you.
Sure.
Listening. If you go to the website, which is police, PLEACE hyphen awaken.org, police hyphen awaken.org, and you can kind of get an idea. There's tons of information. Some of it seems like it might be a little overwhelming, but if you just go to the website and kind of scroll around,
yeah,
and, you'll get an idea of the scale of this thing. And also just take a look at who Steve Jacobs is because
– right.
This guy is off the
yeah.
charts.
Incredible. Yeah. All right. Well, they couldn't have picked a better person than you to talk about this, as you do with everything you get involved with. I'm not just saying that because I'm your brother. anyway. All right. I'm going to talk about this moving forward. I will encourage as many people as I can to look at the website, to look at who Steve is, and we'll just start with all of our friends and we'll all get involved.
Okay.
And as always, thanks a million
for joining me.
Well, I appreciate you. And I think a lot of people, once this is a little more clearly defined and once the app comes out, they're working really hard on, but you can imagine it's
kind
of a big task. So they'll get it, and Steve will get in touch with me, and we'll
We'll
start rolling. I really appreciate it.
All right, cool. And there's one other thing before I let you go. I'm a little worried about my world ranking already. I'm just saying.
You mean the one that hasn't even started?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay, that
one. Yeah. But the good news is I have a lot of time to practice, which, as you know, I do all the time anyway.
Yeah. So, and you should you should be able to really ramp the game up in time for when it all starts.
Yeah. Okay.
I have faith.
Thanks a lot. Whatever. All right, man. Love you.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks again.
Okay.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.
Welcome back. It's Backspin Golf, ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5. Joining me now, I'll just say it. We don't see each other hardly at all, but he's one of my favorite people. I don't know if he even knew that. David Hill, otherwise known as One Bearded Golfer. You can follow him on Twitter at @1BeardedGolfer. Or listen to his great podcast at Blind Shots Pod is the way you can get to it. David Hill, golfer extraordinaire, champion, joining me now. Hi, David.
Hi, Matthew. Always good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you, too. Now, we had a pretty funny little text exchange. First of all, why don't you tell us this championship that I'm talking about that you just won, and you have some, you always have interesting thoughts about the game and rules and everything like that. You are the 2020 Thomas Flight champion for the PGLAT. Explain what that is.
What that is, the city of Lexington has always had, prior to this year, had always had separate individual golf clubs at all of the city courses. So there was a Picadome Men's Golf Association, Kearney Hill Golf Association, et cetera.
Right.
This year, they were finally combining all of those into one kind of omnibus umbrella league, and we're just going to play tournaments. The original plan was they're going to start back in April and play tournaments basically somewhere every week, and there, it would culminate in a playoff run and a season ending championship. Well, enter 2020. And so they had to cut that schedule down. We did kind of a sprint. I think probably more than the FedEx Cup, maybe analogous to the NASCAR sprint, you know, had 10 or 12 events in the second half of the summer, and it was all flighted, which was something new. I enjoyed. Typically the league events had been in the past had been gross and net. And with any net event, you know how that gets. Handicaps can be manipulated.
Yes, they can.
To be kind. Well, to get around that, this was all flighted. So there was a 5 handicap and under, you know, kind of the, that's the players division. There was a 6-10, an 11 to 15 and so on.
Yeah.
So the championship you speak of was the season ending championship. And I am the A player from the C flight. So I figure that makes me about a B golfer overall. But a win is a win, and I'm going to take it. You can't pry that trophy from me.
Yeah, well, as I said in our little text exchange, you're the champion, and I'll describe it however I want because this is my show. So congratulations. It's great. Now, you always come up with, intellectual is the wrong word because that makes people think it's, oh, well, he's, but you actually always come up with really well thought out aspects to the game of golf, whether it's for you personally or for the rest of us. And I just want to read to our people what you said on Twitter. This was a 2-day event, right?
Yes.
Okay. This is what you said. This is an important underappreciated aspect of playing in events and tournaments. Grinding out a 2-day event really tested my whole game, mentally and physically,
in addition to some great camaraderie and fun. We don't often think about that. Explain what you mean. Why is that so different, having this two-day event? And how exactly do you think it challenged you?
You know, I keep a regular game with some friends in addition to just this league play. And we right. play a $2 Nassau, pretty standard game. And okay, so it's something to keep us interested as we're going around. And you concede putts and, you know, maybe everybody plays everything as a lateral or something like that. Tournament golf, where you're playing the rules of golf, putting everything out, it's a slightly different game. The mental grind of, okay, if I blow that 3 feet by, I've got to make that comeback or nobody's going to give it to me.
Right.
You know, it really, and the idea of a 2 day event, you know, I'm not just, I'm a match play guy. That's my mm-hmm. preferred format, you know, 18 little one hole battles.
Yeah.
So going from that to a 36 hole stroke play event, just the mental endurance is something that I don't, that's something I don't see or don't engage in a lot. So knowing it was coming, you know, on the schedule, I could try to mentally prepare for it a little bit, but
right.
You know, and I'm a walker. So walking 36 and playing competitively, there's a little bit of physical element once we're out there, and it was blowing pretty good on the second day.
Oh yeah.
10, 12 miles an hour sustained winds. But that's what the tournament golf, playing it down to the hole by the rules, and knowing everybody else was doing it and, you know, playing for something. There was a pretty good prize at the end of this tournament. And so that added some pressure. And I really saw that on the back nine of the second day, to be honest.
Yeah. And you were out at Kearney, right? On Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. Day one was it Gabe Brewer, and the second day was at Kearney.
Right. And when you talk of 10 to 12 mile an hour winds, Kearney can be the windiest place in Lexington. I mean, it typically is. So that's a big deal. But this is why I say, when you say I was the A player in the C flight, which makes me a B player, I mean, this is a pretty cool accomplishment. And I don't care what you say, it shouldn't be underplayed. And that's what I'm sticking with.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think it means a little bit more the more I think about it. Like, I really was able to do that.
Good. There you go. All right. We're speaking with David Hill, one bearded golfer. Now, I always like to go through people's Twitter pages. I want you to explain, because this in the times we're going through, we talk about golf, but everybody I talk to every week, we've been veering off a little bit. You have a picture up here of you and some goggles that is just really pretty amazing. Can you explain this picture to me? Really?
It's quite a look. We made chili yesterday. I was making chili in the afternoon yesterday, and my wife is quite the foodie, and she's got this great onion chopper. You know, you put a half or a quarter of a big onion in there, and it just dices it in no time. The byproduct of that is it will make you cry like where the red fern grows. So yeah. I have learned through hard experience that if I want to see anything for the next 20 minutes, I need to protect my eyes. And the best way I know how, some swim goggles. and you see what that looks like.
Personally, I like this look for the golf course. I mean, if I were you, I'd get some, you know, have them be real shaded to your specifications and wear them on the course, because it's quite. Have you seen that picture of Jarmo Sandelin with his sunglasses?
Yes.
Yes, that's, I think you're going for that look there, and I'm all in on this, all in. Yeah. I want to go ahead.
No, I was going to say, put that in with some nice argyle and some pink socks, and people nobody will be betting against me.
Well, the thing is, if you look like that, you better be able to play, because otherwise you're in trouble. This is what I was talking about with you. Sometimes I really enjoy these introspective thought pieces that you put into this great podcast, Blind Shots Podcast. Other times you feel like you're descending into madness, but history of the game is a really big, important part for you.
And you use the word philosophical introspective. Your introspection is a big part of the game. A lot of people just go out and they play and it's over. But you seem to think about a lot of different things about the game and about life while you're playing. Have you always been like that? Or is this just something, do you think golf has helped bring this out in you?
I think golf has helped bring it out and more frequently. You know, I grew up a baseball player, and while if you're tying dandelions into a bracelet in the outfield, there's plenty of time for introspection. But I was a catcher.
You couldn't take a minute off.
No, that kept my active mind engaged. Every single pitch, you know, there was something going on. So there wasn't really time for that kind of introspection. Whereas golf, you know, if I'm out walking a course or just thinking about the game, get away from the technical aspects of it and just think about, why do I do this? Why is it important? Why is it important that I improve? You know, those sorts of things. So I think, yes, that the last 5 or 6 years, as I've gotten deeper and closer into the game, that's gotten a lot more important. One second. I've got a friend.
This is good. These are the things we love during this time here.
My middle golfer has made an appearance. Benjamin, I'd like you to say hi to Mr. Matthew.
Hi.
Hi, Benjamin. How are you doing?
How are you doing, buddy?
Good.
Good. All right. This is the best. I love when stuff like this happens. And he plays, right?
He does. He has been taking lessons out of Man of War for a couple of years. You'll see him pop up on my social media feeds. He's got a pretty good swing. If he takes the time to get set up and doesn't race through, he'll be challenging me in no time flat.
Well, you know, and the thing is, hey, Benjamin, it's the same thing for me. If I take the right time to get set up, I can usually hit a pretty good shot. Okay, Mr. One Bearded Golfer, before I let you go, we got about a minute and a half. Quick thought on the Masters coming up in November. Hello.
I think all bets are off as far as making any kind of prediction. Nobody really knows what that course is going to play like in November as opposed to April. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the pictures, some of the aerials that people have been showing off on Twitter and social media have been wild, that it's that Bermuda down there has already gone dormant. So,
yeah,
I guess they're just going to be growing some ryegrass at record speed with an overseed. So, you know, the greens will be the greens. Yeah, it will be perfect. It will be interesting to see if there are any azaleas in the back shots, what those look like.
You know what I've said? It's Augusta National. Those people, it'll look like April. They'll fly in azaleas and magnolias from all over the world and make it look like the first weekend in April, I believe.
I think that's a safe bet. I think it's going to be wild to see without people there.
Yeah.
See what it's like. Yeah. Just with space in those pines and in those. See if that affects play. You know,
right.
If guys can't be as wayward.
Yeah. I can't wait for it. Because it's 2020 and this is the 2020 Masters, and we all know about that. And then we don't have that long to go. The next major is the Masters, hopefully. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
That, you know, that hadn't occurred to me. That's the best thing I'm going to hear today.
Cool. All right, man. Thanks so much for joining me. I always love talking to you. I hope I see you soon. Maybe we can play one of these weekends now that you got all these championships that you're winning out of the way. That'd be great.
I'm still not giving you strokes, Matthew.
Oh, please. Really? You're a champion. I'm not. Thanks, man. See ya.
Thank you.
All right. That'll do it. Another edition of Backspin Golf in the, what is it, Sean? It's not in the books. It's in the computer. I guess we'll be back next week. As always, thanks to our incredible partners, Man of War Golf, French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Rec, Edwin Watts Golf, Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown, Clark's Pump and Shop, Commonwealth Credit Union, and NFP Insurance, all my partners. And I couldn't be more proud to be associated with any of them.
Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Sunday on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5. Stay tuned for The Bottom Line and The Angelo Show.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.